You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
All right. Well, where are we opening our Bibles to today, guys? Ruth chapter number 4. Ruth chapter number 4. So the book of Ruth, we're finishing it up today. I think it's the quickest book I've ever preached through. And so it's been just a great journey walking through this book. There's great revival that I believe as we studied this book and looked at this book and the personal revival that each one of us can have as we look at that idea of the kinsman redeemer, the kinsman redeemer. So the book of Ruth, making a masterpiece out of a mess. And so the title today is From Bitter to Blessed. And I'm going to start out today reading. We're going to read verses 9 through 12 of chapter 4. And it says, "And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all, every single little bit that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gates of his place. Ye are witnesses this day." Remember those three references to witnesses. Verse 11, "And all the people that were in the gates and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem." Oh, little did they know that his son, the lineage of his son, would be someday famous in Bethlehem. "And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." Boaz, hear what we just read as we read through the finished redemption process. The redemption has taken place. Everything had been bought. The redemption process for Ruth and Naomi, Boaz has officially finished in the sight of many witnesses. He paid the cost to redeem all that had been lost and all that had been indebted. Now, we understand that Boaz paid with gold for her redemption, or that valuable, whatever it was, silver, gold, whatever currency was in that day. And we understand that for our redemption, the Lord paid in blood. The Lord paid in blood, Boaz being a picture of Jesus to come, our Redeemer. And so it's important that we understand this about Boaz. Boaz was not, and I talked about it a little bit last week, didn't dive into it in great detail, not going to dive into it in extent detail today, but it's important that we understand Boaz was not obligated to redeem Ruth or Naomi. He was not obligated. The law of the Levirate mentions in Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 through 10, and the law of the kinsman redeemer mentioned in Deuteronomy 25, 23 through 55, while closely tied together, they are not the same. This is important. They are not the same. The law of the Levirate was one of obligation and duty. There's a big difference. But the law of the kinsman redeemer was one of kindness and compassion. It's important we understand this, because just like Boaz was not obligated to Ruth or Naomi to redeem them, neither was Christ obligated to redeem you or me today, to give himself a living sacrifice. There is no obligation on the side of God to come and redeem us, just like there was no obligation on the side of Boaz to redeem Ruth and Naomi. Now, however, it showed Ruth, Boaz's character, that he was loving, compassionate. He saw the needs, just like Jesus saw our need. He saw our need. Isaiah 53, for the joy that was set before him, the Bible says. And so as we close out the book of Ruth today, we will look at the new life Ruth and Naomi have been given, or, you know, given to them by Boaz, and we will see how this compares to our new life given to us by Jesus when he redeemed us. See, when Jesus comes into our life, Jesus changes everything. When Boaz came into Ruth and Naomi's life, and they, and I want you to understand, they invited him into their life. It's not just Jesus on the outside that changes everything. It's when we invite Jesus to be part of our life, into our life. They invited Boaz, and it changed everything. Like Boaz changed everything for them. So let's pray, and we're going to dive right in. Lord, I love you, and I do just ask and pray that you would, Lord, just be with us today. I pray that you would open our eyes. I pray that you would help us to be able to receive your word and to see, Lord, what your spirit is trying to communicate to us, convict us of, challenge us, encourage us, strengthen us. I pray that your word today would truly wash over us as your bride, washing us clean by the water of your word. I pray that my stammering tongue would not get in the way in any way, shape, or form, but that your word would be clearly communicated and your spirit would be fresh on us today. In Jesus' name, I ask all these things. Amen. So write it down. Number one, the new life of the redeemed. The new life of the redeemed. A, underneath of that, the new life of the redeemed starts with a new life conceived. A new life conceived. You know, we see right immediately after the redemption process where Boaz went and bought all. He paid the cost, whatever it costs. He redeemed Ruth to himself. We understand that this very next verse talks about Ruth conceiving. And so Ruth no longer had to wonder about her future. She was no longer a helpless widow, but now she was a beloved bride. Her faith had become sight. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 says, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for it? Basically, when we hope in something, hope is something that we don't see. How many of you hope to see heaven someday? Hopefully everybody's hands up, right? Does anybody see heaven? Do you get the verse? Ruth was hoping for that new life, that transformed life given to her by Boaz. All that she had longed for and hoped for has become now sight. I think about what Proverbs says. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. You know, hope deferred could be the longing for the Lord's return, but he holds out for a little bit longer. Hope deferred could be wrestling through a sickness, a doctor's report, a job reversal, a financial reversal, or something like that. And you're hoping and you're praying, but you don't see the end result yet. But then when it does come, when that answer to prayer does come, when the Lord does return, when we do see his face, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Refreshment here for Naomi in verse number 13. We see this beloved bride. Look at verse number 13. So Boaz took Ruth, not ashamed of her, not put back by her. And you know, it's an interesting thing. Somebody brought out last week, and I completely missed this, and I love it when people, share a scripture and, hey, have you thought about this? And I didn't even think about Boaz, his mom, being Rahab the harlot. I don't know how I missed that. It's the God's word is infinitely deep. Just realizing maybe, his sympathy and compassion towards Ruth was maybe because the compassion that was showed towards his own mom, who was a Gentile. And so Boaz took Ruth, not ashamed of Ruth, and she was his wife. He loved her. He took her as his own. And when he went in unto her, that consummation of the marriage, the Lord gave her conception and she bare a son. She bare a son, a new life conceived inside of Ruth. Ruth now has a new life inside of her. The fruit of her relationship with Boaz has produced life in her from God. For Ruth, the evidence of her relationship with Boaz was the fruit of her womb. Just like the evidence of our relationship with Jesus through our redemption is the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it was evident that Ruth was Boaz's wife. She was bearing his child, his seed. As Christians, it's so important that we understand if we say we're Christians, then we are going to bear the fruit of the one that gave us new life. Because if we're not, our redemption would be in question in our own hearts. Were we truly redeemed? Have we allowed ourselves to truly be redeemed? And I want you to think about this thought of conception. This was not something that Ruth could manipulate. This was something that the Lord brought about. There's a huge difference in bearing the fruit of the Spirit versus the works of the flesh. One is done of your own volition and of your own hand. Remember, Ruth had no part in her redemption process. The price and the process was all paid by Boaz. Just like we as Christians have no part in our salvation. If you think you have 1% in your salvation process outside of coming humbly before the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, save me. You have no part. And if you think you do because of your religion, because of your baptism, because of the denomination, because of your own good works, you're mistaken. Because the redemption process was all taken by Boaz. Our redemption process was all taken by Ruth, or by the Lord. And so we see here, the Lord blessed her with this seed, with this child. When we're saved, the Bible says that we're given new life inside from the Holy Spirit that is supposed to bear fruit from the inside out. And it's not by our work. It's by his work. A tree planted doesn't have to force itself. We got an apple tree over here, by the way. So if you got any hunters over there, go over there and grab some apples over there because I'm not hunting this year. But right across the street, there's an apple tree. That tree does not have to try and produce fruit. You know what it needs? It needs to stay in the sunlight. It needs to stay watered. It needs to stay firmly planted. And guess what will naturally happen? It will naturally produce fruit. For Ruth, this child that was conceived inside of her, she didn't have to try to do anything. She just had to let that child grow within her. Too many Christians are trying to do the Christian life by the works of their own hands. And we miss it. The Bible says the works of our flesh are, Galatians says, starts out with adultery, fornication, all types of sexual sin, immorality, uncleanness. And then it goes on to drunkenness, and you just name the list. That's all that we can produce in our flesh. It's the work. It's the work. The difference is bearing the fruit of the Spirit is something that naturally comes from the believer. Just like Ruth's son is naturally going to come from her womb. She's not going to have to force it. It's naturally going to come. As Christians, when we stay close to the Lord, when we stay planted in the ground, that fertile ground of God's word, when we stay in the water of his word, when we stay in the sunlight of his presence, fruit will come forth from us. We see the new life of the redeemed, a new life conceived, this life inside of her that is going to bring about a godly heritage for generations to come. But then that's in Ruth. But then Boaz also redeemed Naomi. And this is where we see a renewed life given. A renewed life given. Look at verse number 14. And the woman said, and the women, those same women that when Naomi came into the town and said, call me not Naomi, which means pleasant or delight. Don't call me that anymore. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. Call me bitter because the Lord has turned his hand upon me. The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord has taken away from me. And we understand she was speaking from a place of bitterness. The Lord hadn't taken anything from her. Sin had robbed her of those things and her turning away from the Lord. And so now we see a renewed life given. Verse 14 says, and the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. I like that it's Boaz's name, famous in Israel. I like that in our lives, it should be Jesus's name that gets exalted, that gets magnified. We talked about on Wednesday night, and I would challenge you, if you don't come to church on Wednesday night, hey, come dive in. We're in Daniel. We're going through Daniel. But we talked about Wednesday night what true glory of God looks like. True glory of God looks like us becoming smaller and the Lord becoming bigger. You remember when Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, hey, king, I just want you to know that this dream that I'm going to give you the interpretation of has nothing to do with me, but everything to do with him. See, for God truly to be glorified in our lives, hey, we have to become little. And I think John said that. I must decrease and he must increase. He must increase. And so here, his name made famous in Israel, the Lord, his name, Boaz, here referencing in verse 15, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. Naomi, who was once bitter, is now being blessed by others because they see the hand of God upon her life. Notice she didn't have to go around and the women came to her. The women said to her, hey, I see the hand of God's blessings in your life. I see the Lord working in your life. I wonder, would anybody around you come to you and say, hey, I see the Lord working in your life? They were seeing God working in Ruth and Naomi's life, who went from bitter to blessed. And that word restore there means to give back or to return again. To give back or to return again. And I want you to think about this. Sin had taken much from Naomi. She left the house of bread. She left the place of blessing. God did not take it from her. She left it. Remember how when we walked through this, we talked about the story of the prodigal son. See, the only reason the prodigal son was in the pig pen in the first place was because he chose to walk away from the father. The father took nothing from him. In fact, the father even blessed him on his way out. But the pig pen was a result of the prodigal son's own doing. He had to eat that pig slop to realize how good he had it at home in his father's house. Naomi, too, had to walk away to realize how good she actually had it. When it came to, she said, when she came back in, she said, I left full, but now I come back empty. Wasn't that the prodigal son? He had left with, man, his inheritance only to be wasted by the sin and by the world. But God is a restorer to what sin takes from us. I love the fact that when the prodigal son came home, the father, you know, I mean, it was a famine, it was a drought, he was probably dirty and filthy. He took the robe and put it around him. He put the ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. He fed him that day, and they had a party for him coming back home. Oh, how the restoration process comes as soon as we turning to the Lord. The father saw him a great way off. Here, you see this restoration process in Naomi's life come about. See, God restores life. Sin takes life. The devil has sold us a cheap bill of goods, thinking that if we can just have this fake, tangible thing, we'll have life, when really all it does is it literally, secretly steals life from us. I love what Psalms chapter 51, verse 12, it's a psalmist, and this is the psalm of repentance before David, or before the Lord, that David prayed to the Lord after his adultery and murder. Adultery with, you know, Bathsheba, and murder of Uriah the Hittite. And what he realized through this process is that sin had stole away the joy that he once had, as he prays in verse number 12, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." See, sin had robbed Naomi of her joy. When she came back, she had no joy. She had no peace. There was no pleasantries in her. It was all bitterness. That's what sin does to us. It makes us bitter. Makes us hate life. That was where Naomi was at. She hated life because of her. I'm sure she blamed herself. I'm sure she even blamed others for the poor choices that she made. And here, as she returned to the Lord, God restoring. I love Joel chapter 2, verse 25, "And I will restore to you." See, the Lord is restored. He says, "I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten." Man, what sin has caused to be taken away. But you know, he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just say, "Restore." Boaz is that restorer, the Lord our restorer, but also there's another word in there that's interesting. He's the nourisher. He's that nourisher. That means to sustain life. And I want you to think about this. Not only has God restored to her what sin robbed from her, he sustained her life in her old age. He sustained her life in her old age to be able to enjoy the new life that he has given to her. You know, think about this. She's the last one. Her husband died. Her two sons died. You know, but here, God is allowing her to enjoy. He's not just restoring to her all the land and all that she had went into indebtedness and all of that stuff, but now he's also nourishing her to sustain her life itself so that she can enjoy and take joy in the new life that God has given to her grand or her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Look at verse number 16. "And Naomi took the child." Well, what child? The one that the Lord gave Ruth. "And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it." I can see her picking this baby up with great joy and overwhelming, just rejoicing and blessing in her heart as she picks this child up, as she probably thought, "I never thought this day would be possible. I never thought that this would come." And that's how it is when we let the Lord into our lives. We look back and we're like, "I can't believe this has happened. I can't believe the Lord has done such a work," because when he comes into our life, he does the impossible. That's what he does. And I could see as she took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, once again, her neighbors gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. Obed, he is the father of Jesse and the father of David. Obed, Obed means serving or servant. We see that he's in the line of David. We see a life redeemed. That new life given, that conception given, that new life given. I would ask you and truly ask you to challenge yourself. The Bible says, Paul says in Corinthians, examine yourself to see whether ye be in the faith. I wonder how many people, and hopefully there's nobody in this room, but I wonder how many people, because I know all across the world there's a lot of churches that aren't preaching the truth, but I wonder how many people think that they're going to heaven or think they have a relationship with the Lord, but they don't have the Spirit of God in them. You know, today when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, he gives us the gift of salvation. When that thief on the cross called out to the Lord, hey, remember me. And it wasn't our typical salvation prayer either. You know, you say this prayer, you got to say it just like this and just like that. You know, I love that Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know, but when we have that relationship with the Lord, when we accept that gift of salvation, the wages of sin is death, but the gift, what is the gift? The gift is the comforter. It's the Holy Spirit of God in us. The gift is forgiveness of sin. The gift is adoption into the family of God. Examine yourself and see whether you be in the faith. That redeemed life should bear fruit. Is your life bearing fruit? That renewed life, the joy and the blessing of returning to the Lord brings great joy into our lives. And so we see the new life of the redeemed, both Ruth and Naomi. But then we see, number two, the names of the broken God used. The names of the broken God used. Look at verse number 18. It says, now these are the generations of Phares. Phares begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz. Now I want you to understand, sometimes when we read the Bible, we get all hung up on the names and we don't understand. We're like, why in the world is this in there? But can I say, let me ask you a question. Does the name and the person sitting next to you matter to the Lord? Does the person sitting next to you matter to the Lord? Do they have a name? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. You know, and sometimes if we're not careful, we'll read by these names and we'll completely miss so much of what God is trying to teach us and show us. See, Boaz didn't come from the best of lineages. Boaz came from some would look at it and say, man, that was a crazy family tree that he came from. We see the line of names leading to the birth of Obed, which means servant or serving. And as we look at these names, we realize every name matters, but also we will see every man has a broken past that God can use for his glory if we'll let him. If we'll let him. You know, it's interesting here because that name Phares. Anybody know Phares? See, Phares was the son of Judah. Judah was one of the 12 tribes of 12 heads of Israel. And one day he went to a harlot, a prostitute, or so he thought it was. Come to find out, it was his daughter-in-law. You're like, what kind of Jerry Springer stuff is that? Hey, listen, this is the best that broken man can come up with. I mean, hey, don't let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, right? You know, Bible says, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought. Without the Lord, we're all vile. The only thing that makes us whole is the Lord. The only thing that mends us up is the Lord. Phares here, born. That's in the lineage. And so we go on, we see more. Boaz's mother was literally a harlot in Jericho, in the city. Remember how I told you we're getting ready to go to Matthew? Well, turn to Matthew chapter 1. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. See, we see the new life of the redeemed, but we also see that God uses broken men. Sometimes we think if we can try a little harder, pull our bootstraps up, look a little bit more polished and clean on the outside, and not deal with the inside, that God will maybe use us more, or we'll be able to do more. But really, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It comes natural. It comes natural if we're walking with the Lord. Matthew chapter 1, verse 6 says, "And Jesse begat David," King David. King David. Oh, he's a man after God's own heart. You know, yes, 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 he was. But do you realize that he committed adultery, that he took another man's wife, that he literally had a man killed? It says in King David, and David the king begot Solomon of her that would had been the wife of Uriah. And Solomon, anybody know who Solomon is? Solomon, we just talked about him in Ecclesiastes. Anybody remember how many wives he had? 1,000? Well, 700 wives, 300 concubines to be exact there. God used him. Solomon begot Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begot Abiah, and Abiah begot Asa, and Asa begot Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat begot Joram, and Joram begot Uzziah, and Uzziah, which is Uzziah, Uzziah. This was one of the kings of Israel who really got lifted up with pride, man. He really, man, look at all that I had done, man. The kingdom was strong, and God was blessing, and he really got lifted up with pride, and he got arrogant to the point where he said, well, why can't I do what a priest can do? Because he wasn't the priest, he was the king. He got lifted up with pride and went into the temple one day. And in his pride and in his arrogancy, the Bible says, the Lord smote him down with leprosy starting in his forehead. And forever he lived as a leper for the rest of his life. That pride, proud men, breaking them down. Oh, it goes on, next verse, verse number 10. And Hezekiah, it's Hezekiah, Old Testament, begat Manasseh. Anybody know who Manasseh is? Manasseh is one of Israel's most wicked kings. The Bible says that he reigned for 55 years of wickedness before he turned to the Lord and humbled himself. God used that man. What I'm trying to get to is that God can use brokenness because that's all he's got to work with. God can use a brokenness because there's nobody perfect, made whole without him. See, we are the potter, or we are the clay. He is the potter. We break things. He mends them. He mends them. You got Manasseh. And then you got Josiah begot Jeconiah. This is the first king that chose not to listen to the word of the Lord. And King Nebuchadnezzar came and took over the kingdom because he chose not to listen. But God used him. And his brethren, about the time they were carried away into Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begat Sethaliel. And Sethaliel begat Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel begat Abiud. Abiud. And Abiud begat Elimelech. And Elimelech begat Azor. Go back and read them for yourself. They're all there. You can search them all out. But I'm just trying to prove this point here. And Azor begat Sadak. And Sadak begat Ekam, and Ekam begat Elad, and Elad begat Eleazar. Eleazar begat Mathan. Mathan begat Jacob. Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. Now, sometimes, and I talked about this before, we try to hide. You know, you go get a Christmas tree. If you get a real Christmas tree, you usually try to hide the bad branches of the Christmas tree in the back. You don't want anybody to see that. You know, you usually hide the bad branches, you know, of your family tree. Yeah, I don't know that guy over there. He is my uncle, but I wouldn't tell anybody. You know, but I love how Jesus unashamedly put us right in the front to show that he's not ashamed of us. God is not ashamed of you or your past, because he can use your past to bring him glory in the future if you'll let him. You know, too many of us get in the way of of the Lord working in us by saying, how can God use me? He can't use me. He can use you. He can use you. You don't know what I've done. See, you're missing the point. It's not about what you're going to do. You can't do anything. Jesus says in John chapter 15, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. And we think in ourselves, well, I got to try to be better, and I got to try to. No. It's God that's doing the work. You just got to relinquish your brokenness to him. See, Christ chose the broken people to be part of his story, because that's all that he has to work with. I love what Luke chapter 14 says, or Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, because he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Would we agree that Naomi was brokenhearted when she came back to Bethlehem? Preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Will we agree that Naomi was bound up by a lot of bitterness in her life? The Lord Jesus came to save such. You know, and I love that perfect picture of an imperfect Christmas tree, imperfect family line, but a perfect Savior who says, hey, let me use you. Let me stick that branch of your life, yes, broken, but let me highlight that. And you know why we hide our past? It's because it brings us shame. But remember how I told you, if you want to truly be able to bring the Lord real glory in your life, you have to decrease so he can increase. You know, my life is tainted as it is. I've told you this before. I used to be a drug addict. You think I'm ashamed of that? Absolutely. But does that make me look good? No, it makes God look really good that he can use anybody. David, a murderer? Why would you use a guy like that? Because he humbled himself before me. Hey, a drug, why would you use a person like, hey, an adulterer, why would you use them? Because they humbled themselves before the Lord. My question to you is today is, do you want the Lord to use you, and have you humbled yourself before him? Because he wants to use you. And he wants to redeem you. The book of Ruth is a book about a broken life that had been redeemed. See, God is not ashamed of your brokenness. Give him your sin and your brokenness. He wants to restore you. He wants to bring that joy that you once had in your salvation back into your life. I literally sat across from somebody that here goes to this church, and there's sin in their life, and they said, I don't even know what peace feels like anymore. I don't know what joy feels like. And I dare say he's probably not the only one. But I said, you know what? You can experience that joy again. You can experience that peace again. Hey, turn that brokenness over to the Lord. Turn that sin over to the Lord. But my question to you today is, are you ashamed of him? He's not ashamed of you. Are you ashamed of him? Are you ashamed to be bold about your relationship with the Lord? If I went to your work and said, hey, do you know so-and-so? Do you know, are they a Christian? Would they even say that, yeah, he's a Christian? He don't act like one. Or they say, yeah, he's a Christian. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He tells us. He invites us out to church. I wish he'd shut up and be quiet. You know, another thing about that broken life redeemed is bearing fruit spiritually versus the works of the flesh. Conception. You know, all Ruth had to do was rest in the relationship that God had given her. The fruit was going to come naturally. 9 months later, guess what's going to happen? Baby Obed's going to come out. She didn't have to force it. It's going to come naturally. You know, as Christians, if there's one thing I can say, Plant yourself in the good ground of God's word, the good seed of God's word. You know, drink in the water of God's word. Stay in the presence of God's word. And you know what? You're not going to have to fight to try to be a better Christian. God's going to make you one from the inside out. What else? The only way to get a renewed life is by turning over your broken life. You know, Naomi was already Jew. You know, God's people, they're already redeemed, right? The idea here is that renewed life, she had to turn back to the Lord. You know, while we may sit in church on Sunday, we may not have a renewed life. We might be made new by the Spirit on the inside, but we're living a miserable life. Some of you put on a smile, but maybe there's real bitterness on the inside. And the Lord says to you today, let me bring joy into your life. Hey, stop running from me. Yes, you're saved. Yes, I'm inside of you, but yield to me. Let me bring you that joy, that peace. Naomi returned to the Lord. That's where it starts, returning. Joy and blessing. Restore unto me, David said, the joy of my salvation. Sin had stolen his joy, just like it stole Naomi's joy. Will you let sin rob you of all that God wants to give you? See, God doesn't want to strip you of things. He wants to bless you with himself. And when you have Jesus, you have everything. As my wife comes and plays the piano, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, I'd like to just take that second just for you to meditate and think on those things. You know, one of the greatest things about, you know, this new life that Ruth had inside of her was a godly heritage that God gave to her. Little did Ruth know that her son would be in a godly line to bring about the Messiah. God had given her a godly heritage. God wants to give you a godly heritage to look back on and be proud of, not ashamed of. You know, Ruth didn't have to be ashamed of her relationship with Boaz. It wasn't immoral. It wasn't adulterous. It was done right. God blessed it. As we seek the Lord, he wants to bless you with something you can be proud of, a life that you can be proud of, not ashamed of. Can I ask you, will you be honest with yourself? Are you proud of the secrets in your life right now? If they were displayed on a screen, would you be proud of them or would you be embarrassed by them? See, the Lord wants to give you something that you won't be ashamed of, but that you'll be proud of. Maybe you're here today and you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ to redeem you. Maybe you don't understand it all and you don't need to. All you need to understand is that Jesus, your Boaz, loves you. The Son of God gave himself for you, but you and I are a sinner. And we have to accept that our way and our path causes destruction. Our way and our path causes death. You have to own it and say, Lord Jesus, I want your life. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you, that you died on the cross, that you're the Son of God who rose from the grave for my sins. Lord Jesus, redeem me. Lord Jesus, buy me. You have to invite him into your life. He won't just force himself in there. If the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, why don't you call out to him today? But maybe you're that Christian today that has no joy, has no peace. Hey, invite him into that brokenness. Stop hiding. But maybe today you have hope, you have joy. Maybe today you're blessed and you realize that. And you just need to thank the Lord and praise the Lord for that. As the worship team comes, let's go ahead and pray. And Father, I love you. And Lord, none of us deserve to be used of you. Lord, especially not me. Lord, I think about what Paul said. He said, I'm the chief of all sinners, and I'm least than all. He's acknowledging he's the last one that you should have called on to do anything with, but you know what? He's so grateful for what you called him to do. Lord God, I thank you for allowing us to be part. Lord, that you would, Lord, come to us in our brokenness, and that you would use us to bear fruit, Lord, to point others to you, to bless others by the fruit that you want to bear from us. Lord God, I pray that you would work in the hearts of your people. Lord, I pray that your word would not return void. Lord, I ask and pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.